Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, they said it in a couple of minutes. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And then at 7:30, Jelani Tavai of the New England Patriots and Courtney has the news. At around 7:45, that includes an incident of PB&J rage, which led to violence in Illinois.
Oh, no.
You would think that would be the most peaceful of all the sandwiches, but apparently it's not. So, but I have a lead left. And I must say, Curtis and I especially spend a lot of time pitching and moaning about our mayor in this city, Michelle Wu, here in the city of Boston. So when there is something positive, I feel like it's my obligation to share it.
She's not running for re-election.
No.
Oh.
I never, ever in my lifetime, I'm 57 years old. I've lived here my entire 57 years. I've done all kinds of fun activities in the city of Boston. I never in my lifetime thought I would see this, but currently the city of Boston is about to create several open container zones. According to the city's director of nightlife economy, Corian Reynolds.
What's that again?
The city's director of nightlife economy, who is working with the mayor's office of new urban mechanics, which I wasn't aware that, that they had.
Yep.
Those districts would be the following: the Fenway Kenmore area,
okay,
the downtown, the North End,
all right,
and my home continent of the Seaport.
Wow.
Right. In which one would be able to purchase an alcoholic beverage and then stroll around in the out-of-doors all evening, should you like to do that.
All right.
Like Vegas.
It's like they compare it to Las Vegas or to New Orleans.
Yeah.
When it comes to cities where you can actually have some fun. I'm all in on it.
I like it.
Wow.
I think it's great. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I love it. No more hiding.
Will there be those vendors that give you like the really tall frozen margaritas with
sure
the cool straws?
Wow.
Yeah. Just like there's sausage stands now, there'll be, like you said, those alcohol stands.
I mean, Fenway Park, you can leave the game and bring a drink with you.
Right.
Why not?
Walk around the North End with a drink?
I mean, obviously, this should be legal. It's a great idea. I mean, people are adults. They have a drink. I always find it funny when you're at a bar and they're like, you cannot pass this line with it. It's like, dude, I'm 47. Let me enjoy the rest of my Amstel in peace.
Yeah. But I think it'd be great for the economy, great for businesses, great for people who come from out of town and go to a conference or something like that and wonder why they suddenly landed in a no-fun zone where you can't drink past 1 a.m. or 11 or whenever place is closed. Now,
it's a great story, but it will take you 2.5 hours to get from your hotel to the drinking zone.
Well, especially if you're – it's good especially if you're in the North End more so because, as I think, like some of the restaurants in the Seaport, the North End, you can drink at the bar, but – you can't really go outside, and some of those places are too small to sit in there.
I think it'll be great.
It'll be a great way to just...
Can I just ask you one concern about the amount of alcohol being sold?
Yes.
And you know me, but drink as much as you want, live your life. Libertarian in that sense. But does it concern anyone how pervasive booze is at gas stations? Like, you go to one, there used to be, I don't know what type of store it was before, but it's right across from the Trader Joe's and the Starbucks on Western Ave in Alston. There is a gas station. You go in, and there's like these like margarita balls that are like right next to the packs of gum. Like in Florida, that exists, and it makes sense in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but like, why would you be selling single drinks at a gas station?
Oh, you know, they've always sold
but they've
like
done
single
that convenience stores.
Yeah.
I have never seen that. Right, believe me, I was looking for it for many years.
You are. They sell like, you know, you could buy a 40 ounce or you know, a
you
tall...
can't buy a 40 at a gas station shop.
Yeah. Curtis, like... I think the product you're referring to is Buzz Balls.
Buzz Balls. Sorry.
But what's the difference between selling those and the small liquor
containers,
bottles.
Right.
Nips. Yeah, don't
like,
say that.
I'm not.
Don't get Curtis saying
well,
that.
Well, you could,
I wouldn't even know what that means.
Like in Cumberland Farms or something like that, you could buy a single can tall boy Bud Light or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and generally speaking, you go in, there's, you know, the lottery, some cigarettes, and soda.
That's been around for a long time where you could go into, you know, convenience stores or certain gas stations.
Yeah. Right.
All right, well, those are this morning's
leads. I like
it. Shime, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me facing. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Quick back and forth now on what they said yesterday, and where do you want to begin, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Aaron Rodgers. He was on Pat McAfee, as he is every week now, and he talked about one Patriots player that he really respects, and that would be Christian Gonzalez. Here was Aaron Rodgers when asked about Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. He was in our rehab at the Achilles factory in the offseason. Wasn't rehabbing Achilles, but he was out there, got to know him just a little bit. I think he's a great kid. He's super, super talented. I mean, he is an elite player. When a guy's going to follow, you know, we call it like star coverage, the respect level for me goes up because especially when those guys not only follow him on the outside, but follow him on the inside. Because it's different playing a corner on the outside and playing a corner on the inside, playing the nickel position. And that's just, it's hard to do in the league. There's not that many guys that have been able to do it. But I give those guys to do the star coverage a lot of credit, a lot of respect. And Christian's one of those guys, you know, who enjoys the challenge, enjoys the competition, and will go side to side.
Okay, let's go.
That's a good point.
Ready for it.
I had a great conversation with Ty and Teddy yesterday about corner play in the NFL at Matt Light's event. And, you know, Ty, that's one of the things he talked about. When you have the ability to go on both sides, go into the middle, that's when you get to that next level of, okay, he's a true lockdown corner.
Well, I mean, this is a winnable game. I mean, you're playing down there, and Aaron Rodgers, I guess last week he did look better. But I don't know. It's a quick turnaround for the Patriots, so that worries me a little bit. But
isn't it always about going to be every single week? What does their passing game do?
Yeah.
Because we feel like, for the most part, they're going to play good defense. And they'll be able to run the football, but it's going to be...
But running the football on this defense is different than running the football this season on the other two defenses.
Well, but I get that. But it seems like they have proven that they can run the football, well, at least through the first 2 weeks against any defense. And I know San Francisco carved up the Jets on the ground. But when you look at this Patriots team, every week it's going to be... What does this passing game look like? And that's going to, in my opinion, determine the outcome of a lot of these games. What can you create in the passing game that's going to help you? I don't go into these games worrying about the defense, and I don't go into the games worrying, oh, they're not going to be able to run the football. I go in there and I say, what are they going to do when it comes to passing?
All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, it's always easy to find NFL players giving you content nowadays thanks to podcasts. I know there's not enough of them. Curtis loves them all.
Love it.
He listens to as many as he can.
How there's no time limit. They can just talk.
They just go forever, right? They can just talk and just keep going. And
there's no restrictions now.
One of those guys who loves to talk would be Micah Parsons. And this was what he said about the Kansas City Chiefs and the benefits they get from the refs sometimes.
It was very shaky, you know, and I'm going to be honest, man, but, you know, the Chiefs got a lot more. Sometimes it's just how the calls go and how the refs favor. I felt like the refs did favor the Chiefs a little bit more. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there. You can't put the games in refs' hands. The Bengals lost to the defending champs, right? the Chiefs always find a way to win games. They came back at half and the Super Bowl to win games.
Well, that was a pass interference, Mike. I don't know what to tell you. The one in the Chiefs game.
Oh, how the tides have, as Courtney would say, twisted. It used to be the Patriots mm-hmm. that everybody was complaining about when it came to getting the calls, and right. now it's the Chiefs.
Right. So. I mean, there was always going to be, like, you know, a couple calls here, but if you're talking specifically about the play in the Cincinnati-Kansas City game, the pass interference, I mean, that was a legit pass interference call. I think even Devin McCourty talked about it. The defensive back got there before the ball got there and impeded his ability, the receiver's ability to go up and make a play.
And people just always gloss over the fact that the play beforehand, Mahomes completed a 40-yard pass to Travis Kelce that got called back for illegal hands to the face by an offensive lineman. So, like, right. they don't get all the calls. Like, right. it goes both ways.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Next, let's hear from our quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. He was asked about the fact that he was only able to get three catches for receivers on Sunday's game and how that's going to change. And Jacoby Brissett kind of sounds like he has a bit of an attitude towards the question. Here was Brissett yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, but we're two plays away from winning the game, and then everybody's like, oh, it was a great – Hunter had a great day, the growing game was good, and all of this and this, that, and the third. But, yeah, obviously we want to get more players involved. We want to spread the wealth, for sure. But, yeah, so this game is the opportunity to do that.
I mean, I get Boy. It. He's going to be defensive about it, but he just doesn't – you brought it up during your lead this morning. He clearly was whether it's not seeing guys or not being able – or being – you know, paranoid about throwing the football more than 5 yards. I whatever it is, it's on Jacoby Brissett that those guys were open and he's unable to find them.
And I would like to take offense from some of the texters who were like, well, how do you do it with a bad offensive line? He has no time. He has above average time to throw. He is in the top half of the league when it comes to time to throw. And one of the reasons that his pressure numbers look so bad, the offensive lines, is because he holds on to the ball too long. That's why.
Sometimes you got to let it fly.
Jeff Jazz Music in the Twitch chat says he's doing what he's told to do.
By not turning the ball over, I would agree. He's not being told to hold the ball and sit there and not throw it to the receivers.
I think we see Drake May tomorrow night.
Ooh.
What?
Okay.
It could be injury related.
All right.
But I do think he's not going to die. God.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, I will be so excited if we see Drake May tomorrow.
I mean,
night.
It was alarming that a couple of times he was clearly wincing and in pain.
Yes.
After getting projected to the field.
It was interesting when I asked Jerod Mayo about it on Monday that he didn't just say, yeah, he's fine. I think a lot of coaches go that route and say, yeah, he's good. He was like, well, we'll see today when, you know, he's checked out.
Yeah.
Would you like Jacoby Brissett's answer about taking a bunch of hits, Greg?
Sure.
Nah, man, I'm big enough. I can take it. I'm a grown man. I can take a couple hits.
Yeah, he came back in the game and finished, and so I think that's the biggest thing.
He's a grown-up, unlike Will Levis.
But there is, I'm telling you, there's something beneath the surface bubbling when it comes to that receiving group. It's just nature of the beast.
603 text, Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. But they were not open. There was no separation. The professor would disagree.
I would strongly disagree. Go watch the All-22. Go watch the All-22, or I don't know, look at separation stats like the one that I gave you this morning from Fantasy Points, where Jalen Polk is leading all rookie receivers in separation win rate.
Well, guess what? Sometimes in the NFL, to the text they're there, Greg, they're not always going to be wide ass open. But you, as a quarterback, sometimes you got to put the ball where only your play can get it. And you got to make those tight window throws that they're called. But if you're not even willing to risk it. You know, what it.
You mean if you're holding the ball on third down and taking a sack?
Right, because you're afraid, like, oh, that window's not big enough for me. Remember what Bruce Arians said? What is it? No biscuit, no risk it, or something like that?
We got to risk it for the biscuit.
You got to be able to. And the receiving core, and I told you, I've been part of this before, they're going to get frustrated, and they're going to start looking at Brissett and saying, when is Drake May coming?
Great. Now I have to have biscuits for breakfast.
I love a good biscuit.
I was going to say you have that tattoo on you.
Biscuits and sausage gravy, Greg, is an underrated breakfast product.
This is going to shock you. Not a sausage person.
All right.
Me neither.
How dare you?
So not a sausage.
Okay.
Not a sausage person, and definitely not a sausage gravy person. No,
all right, I'll give you not a sausage. What about a chicken biscuit with jelly on it?
Okay. Okay. Now you're talking.
Chicken biscuit with jelly.
Now you're talking.
Nice flaky biscuit.
Okay.
Well, where do you get the best one around here?
The best biscuit?
Can I say,
Hunter's has a very good chicken and biscuit.
Oh,
okay.
They do?
No, yeah, I would. I listen. I know Chef Lambeau over there, and his mac and cheese is the best in the city, and his collard greens.
Yep.
And I'm not even a big collard green fan. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me his biscuits are good, I will not doubt you on that.
I would say biscuits with just butter and maybe a little honey.
All right.
Also, very, very
good. I'll give you that.
Extra butter.
But if you can't put. But if you could put a nice piece of fried chicken in that biscuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now anything. I mean, if you have biscuits.
Or you said you're not a sausage guy.
No. But if you're eating it with, like, if you're having biscuits and beef, like, you know, you throw a roast beef, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, biscuits, roast beef, delicious. Or biscuits and, like, some kind of a chicken casserole thing that has a sauce.
Biscuits, and then, chicken bar.
Like, you're pouring the
like a creamy sauce.
Yes, a creamy
sauce.
Not
like what Sean's talking about.
On top of the...
All right.
Like, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know who has a great biscuit, not to sound like a total Southeast stooge? Tate.
Really?
Spectacular buttermilk biscuit.
You are so correct on that.
I just can't go to that place.
Tate. Oh, yeah. It's too bougie. You like Ocean Prime.
No. It's honestly like PTSD because that witch that I used to go out with used to always make me go there. You know the one. You know the one?
I'm keeping my mouth shut. Absolutely shut.
I thought Courtney was the spooky one today.
I can't.
Great.
All right, let's.
Hey, makers.
Let's get to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
I feel hot right now. Trending now brought to you by Shaw's in Star Market. The Red Sox fall to the Rays 8-3 last night.
I hate to interrupt, but Mick Buttchug has a question for the room.
Oh, okay.
Is this a sports show or a food network?
It's both, you jackass.
Who doesn't love a biscuit?
Does the dude go through life? And the only conversations he has are about sports.
Well, he chooses of all the names you can choose to enter a chat. That's what he chose.
Is he ever watching a football game with his bras?
Right.
And they're talking football, and then for a minute, they talk about food.
I would guess that he is not only hanging out with bras, he is wearing one.
It's possible, yes.
The Sox have another one with the Rays tonight. 6:50 first pitch against the Rays with Tanner Houck getting the start. I said that twice. You can hang out with Coop at 5:50 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. In football, Tua has been placed on IR. He'll miss at least the next four games. So that means that the Miami Dolphins will be without him for the October 6th matchup with the Pats. So that will be interesting when it comes to betting on that game.
Right. And it looks like Tua is going to come back at some point.
Yes.
You know, so we had that big discussion. And, you know, you always bring it up, and rightfully so, about how you would walk away. It's just so hard when you're in the game and you're that young and you feel like you got so much more to prove. You know, sometimes it doesn't become about the money. It becomes about, like, this is all I know. I still miss the game to this point. I mean, I was having a conversation with Ray Bourque and Dante Scarnecchia at Matt Light's event.
Wow.
Talk about that combination.
Jeez, you were really hanging out with a lot of people yesterday.
Schmoozing.
Do it. We're getting name drops left and right over
Right,
here.
But Bourque was, you know, because Dante asked about, you know, Ray when he played and trash talking and stuff, and you know, and guys, like, you know, age as you get older, and you're like, you miss the game.
How's Dante's pickleball game right now? Did you ask about that?
He's still playing, still going hard, loves the show.
Good.
Looks great for his age.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does. I didn't realize that he's almost 75 years old.
Oh, wow.
I thought he was, like, in his late 60s.
Me too.
I love the man.
Yeah.
He is, and he's an everyday listener of the show, and we thank him for that, and we miss him.
Yeah. And for your apple pie, apple crumble, apple snacks, and Greg, the apple of your eye, apples are on sale now at Shaw's and Star Market. Today through Thursday, get a tote bag of apples, Macintosh, Gala, or Ginger Gold for just 99 cents a pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. And I now understand why people do drugs, because I feel on top of the world right now, invincible. I looked up what's in these. It's like, I don't know, green tea, and it's all very healthy. But it is.
That's how they lie to you, Courtney.
No, vitamin B.
There you go.
Vitamin B6.
Folate. Start doing some shrooms then.
Wiggy, what's your product you're selling today?
Wake up water. All the energy, but none of the jitters.
Okay. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
I would buy anything Wiggy sells. 58 degrees, mostly cloudy, afternoon high of 70.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chime, that choice of artist reminds me, if you are a car person like Wiggy, then join us in Newport for a road show, a Flex Friday at the Audrain Newport Automobile Museum during Concourse Motor Week in Newport. You will be able to, if you come to our road show on Friday, October 4th in Newport, and I hope you will, you will be able to see more than 500 of the most remarkable and rare vehicles ever made. And so I can't wait to get down to Newport. Trying to put together, Courtney, some kind of a pregame somewhere. Maybe the landing, maybe whatever. But we'll be down there on Thursday night, all of us, and we can't wait to see you. So
it looks bougie.
It's bougie.
Oh, you guys hate that.
You'll be right at home. You love the bougie. And Curtis is secretly very bougie. Tries to act like he's a regular Joe on the show.
But I'm excited for wine by the water.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
You're very excited about that?
Yeah.
Yes. You're kind of excited about wine anywhere.
Right. That's true.
How was the Bravo night?
Oh, thank you for asking, Curtis. Had a wonderful evening with the Fudas, John and Rachel Fuda from Real Housewives of New Jersey. We did a little Q&A, some trivia. We gave away Post Malone tickets.
Oh, excellent.
It was really fun.
Good. Awesome. All right. And recapping a cocoa bomb from the start of the show this morning, you are hearing as the Bruins begin training camp that the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman have reached an agreement.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I was whispered to last night that yesterday there was an agreement that was they agreed to terms and that was going to be coming out quite soon.
Okay. Just a reminder. On this show, we deliver cocoa bombs. Okay. And I feel like a good tagline would be tune in. We should do this at all times. Tune into the Greg Hill Show for Coco's Bombs. All right.
That was one time.
So just one? Oh, just it's singular? Is that what it is? Okay. It is.
At the time it was.
Yes. All right. It is Patriots Friday of sorts on a Wednesday because of the game tomorrow night. And joining us right now is Patriots linebacker Jelani Tavai. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov, right on time this morning. Hey, Jelani.
How are y'all doing?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Just getting ready for this Thursday night, so trying to pack up before we hit the road.
Yeah, I mean, how difficult has it been when it comes to a short week or... you know, you used to this at this point when it comes to getting ready in a few days?
Yeah, you just got to be professional about it. You got to adapt to the situation. And luckily, it's not too straining on the body since we're just trying to recover for the most part from Sunday.
Jelani, one of the things that you guys did well against Seattle was you were able to take their run game away from them. You're going against, but they were able to make plays in the passing game. You're going against the Jets, who can obviously run the football with Breece Hall and Aaron Rodgers. What's your biggest focus? I know this is a team that can do both, but is there something that you guys really need to focus on this week to come away with a W?
The biggest thing is just getting Rodgers off track. You know, trying to put him in situations that we hope that he's not uncomfortable in. That's our biggest thing. And then, of course, again, stopping the run, making sure that we don't allow them to get it rolling and get it started on the run game. So those are two of the things that we're trying to, you know, accomplish.
Jelani, how difficult is it for you guys, not only a short week, but also losing Juwan Bentley? How big of a loss is that?
Losing a guy like Ben is a big thing, you know. One of our captains, our leaders on the team. But like we've been doing before, it's always the next guy up mentality. You know, we have bright linebackers that are ready to, you know, take the opportunity and go with it, like Raekwon and Joe Giles, and also we got Ellis. So I'm excited to see what they, you know, what they can do. And I'm sure that they're just excited as hell to showcase what they've been working so hard to do.
Jelani, this is a kind of a Tupac question. You lose Bentley. Was he the green dot guy? And then the second part of the question is you said getting Aaron Rodgers off schedule. Do you think you need to bring pressure, or is it something getting him off schedule with your front four?
The first one, he was one of our green dot guys. Bentley was definitely one of them. And then the second one, I think it's just a mixture of everything, really. We got to apply pressure on him, and then we also got to just show him different looks. You know, get different disguises out there because, you know, he's been in the league for 20 years, so he's seen a lot of football. And so we got to be on top of everything. You know, whether it's a little detail, I'm sure that he's been watching plenty of film in the last 3 days on us to pick up on what our tendencies are. So we got to change things up a bit and, definitely get after him.
Jelani, it seems like every time we talk with Jerod Mayo, it's all about vibes in this locker room and how he has all of you guys seeming to buy in, which is a bit different than seasons we've seen the last couple of years. But if you have the team releasing a guy like Rigor after a weird social media post and it seemed like he was unhappy with his position, does that affect a whole team when you have one person in a locker room that seems to be disgruntled, if we can use that word? And is that something that Jerod Mayo is really trying to squash?
I didn't know what happened, actually. I didn't really pay attention to the social media stuff, so I wasn't aware of what the situation was. And of course, I just wish Rieger nothing but the best. But I could see it that way. You know, you got to nip it in the bud before it creates a little pocket in our locker room. So I'm sure that's probably what Mayo was doing, but I don't know. You got to ask the main man for that. But luckily, in the locker room, there's nothing, there's no negativity towards anything. We're just trying to get to the next game, and it just so happens that our next game is in a short week. So, yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
On that same note, other side of the football, Pop Douglas pretty vocal this week about, lack of targets. Is that something that you guys hear in the locker room from those guys? And we look at it from the outside, but is that an issue when it comes to that wide receiver core?
I don't know. That's not weird. If you look at the dynamic in our locker room, I'm so far away from the receivers in the locker room because where my locker is. So I don't hear the conversations that they're having. But I'm sure that they're just frustrated and they want to perform well. You know, so that's just like competitive nature. You know, they want to succeed in whatever they do. So you know, the only way they can succeed is getting the ball in their hands. So I'm sure that they're planning something this week. So. Definitely something I'm not aware of make plays on the defensive side and make tackles.
Johnny, you're good at this, yeah. But we get it.
Gerard should integrate the locker room a little bit more. Rather than put all the linebackers in one spot, he should go like linebacker, wide receiver, D-lineman, O-line.
I'm in the blend of the D-lineman and the linebacker, so I'm like in between.
You'll answer this one, I think. You've been in the league a long time. When it comes to hostile environments, where do you rank this one tomorrow night? And what are your top three most hostile away environments?
Ooh, I actually never been to a Thursday night or a primetime game in New York, so I don't know what their vibe or what their energy is going to be like. But I know that. There's definitely bad beef between the Patriots and the Jets for some reason, because I heard a lot with some of our coaches and in the past. But definitely, I don't know if you guys ever been to Philly or back in the day Oakland. Those ones were very hostile.
Yeah, yeah. Philly's the worst.
Been to Philly. Don't forget Buffalo, Jelani.
Yeah, they throw
Buffalo
things too.
Yeah, you're right. But you know they're a bit friendly, but they're definitely I just like their energy, so I don't really see it as a hostile environment. I see it more of as a energized crowd.
My favorite Jets Patriots moment, Jelani, was the butt fumble. Where were you when that happened?
Ooh, Mark Sanchez. I was probably in middle school entering high school.
I feel old.
Speaking of feeling old, is it weird to you? You play a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You probably you watched him play growing up.
Yeah, definitely. It was crazy when I was in that division when he was with Green Bay. So that was one of my welcome to the NFL moments when I got to play against him and Brady my rookie year. So. It's nice to see him in our division because that means it's going to be some fun football to play against.
Jelani, one of the things we talked about, the green dot, the new guy, is there any chance that could be you? Who's the new guy? And if so, how difficult is it for the guy with the green dot just to kind of have the coach in your ear but still have to call the defense and understand what you need to do? Is that – because I would think that you're one of the guys that's been on this defense, pretty much longer, most tendered guy. Who is going to be the new green dot guy with Bentley being down?
We haven't been they haven't told us yet, but, I mean, if they allow me to do it, then I'm more than, excited to do it. I don't know. I think that you just build experience through practice through the years, if you've had the green dot, it's weird because you're able to hear the call and then you're also able to you gotta practice reading lips sometimes with your teammates to see what they're saying or yelling at you about. But yeah, it's just, I don't think it's that difficult to do. Don't quote me on that one, but definitely
too late.
I wouldn't say it's something as crazy as people think it is. I think it's just it's definitely something that you just got to get used to.
Jelani, one thing that we've unfortunately been accustomed to seeing now is Tua on the field after a brutal concussion. What would you do if you were Tua at this point of your career after three known concussions and the after effects that we know they cause?
I think my first thing would just to have a sit down and talk with my, like, all my loved ones and my family to see, you know, I think it's so hard as a football player to just automatically say, I'm good. You know, I think a lot of us have been so stuck on this game that it's so hard for us to make the decisions ourselves that, you know, we need outside, like the voices of our loved ones that we trust and care for to, you know, have that talk with them and, you know, see what they say. And if it does come up that, you know, they say, you know, it's the best thing for me to do is to walk away, then, you know, then I'd probably lean towards that. But if they didn't, then, you know, I'd stay in. But it's such a hard question because it's just a game that we've been playing our whole life, and it's so hard to just walk away from it. You know, a lot of guys have a big struggle trying to walk away from football, and when they do, finally, they still struggle. So I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm still struggling. I'm wanting one more play. But I think, Jelani, you're right to the point where you work your ass off to get there, and when you finally get an opportunity to get there and be there and stay there, which is very difficult to do, it's very hard to walk away because, Jelani, you probably know how many guys, I mean, even your family members that have tried to get into the NFL and can't and are still trying to get in. It's just, you know, there's thousands of thousands of guys that every day would kill to be there.
Oh, 100%. And you said it perfectly because I know plenty of people in my family would kill to be in my situation, and I do take that into consideration a lot, you know. So, it's a tough one, but like I said, I'm really good, like friends with Tua, and I just hope the best for him on any decision that he makes, because I know for sure I couldn't make that decision on my own. So I pray that, you know, he's okay, and when he decides after being on IR, then, you know, I know that it'll be the right decision.
Do you, so in other words, Jelani, not to put words in your mouth, but it really should be taken out of the player's hands in some respect, right? Because what you're saying is the people around you are viewing beyond just football.
I would say a little bit of it. But I think again, it's on him to have that conversation with with the professionals and with his like loved ones, you know. It's his family that are going to be the ones that want to see him walk through the door every day. So, it's on Brother Tua.
Jelani, we will let you get to work on a short week. Good luck tomorrow night. We'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.
All right, there he is, Jelani Tavai. We're going to take a break. We'll get to Courtney and to today's news next. News with Courtney in a minute or two tomorrow on this show. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, as the Eagles get ready for the Red Bandana game this weekend. This is Derek. Hey, Derek.
Greg, how are you?
What's up?
I just want to let you guys know I am continuing to find followers for the Greg Hill Show because they're very impressed when I tell them I'm the ambassador of the Greg Hill Show.
So kind
of
you.
Very impressive.
Yeah, don't forget.
Well, you guys are kind.
You've been given diplomatic immunity, so use that.
I heard that.
Use it responsibly, but yes.
Right, and your buddy D Money there, Wiggy, doesn't take that lightly.
Nope,
do not take that lightly.
I believe it. Yeah. You've been knighted.
So here's the deal. The reason, so the guy, the texter that texts in saying about talking about sports, the reason you guys are so successful is because you do not talk about sports all the time. I know so many people that I'm like, you listen to the Greg Hill Show? Oh, yeah, we've been listening for years because you guys talk about everything. I mean, I've called in on dogs. I've called in. I mean, it's amazing the subjects you guys bring up.
Derek, appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Always love you for that. We appreciate that, and thank you.
Yeah.
So
that's our ambassador right
that
there.
That is the ambassador, right. I don't know. Is that a one-year term, or how long does that last?
I think it's
change with the administration. I don't know how that works.
I guess it's until he does something reckless.
Well, speaking of reckless, I think we got to get to the news and an update on your guy, Diddy.
Oof.
Yes.
It's time for...
No longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
The news.
It's on your laptop. Then, therefore... up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Do a fingerprint or something instead of you having to see my boobs.
Yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI. What do you
think they would say? By the way, Bruins training camp gets underway this morning. We are expecting that Don Sweeney will address the media at some point. And, of course, a Coco Bomb earlier this morning, she says that there is a deal done with Jeremy Swayman. So he did not appear on that training camp roster, so there was some concern there, but we'll find out when Don Sweeney speaks. But where do you want to start news-wise?
We're going to start with Wiggy's guy, Diddy.
Take that.
He pled not guilty for being a part of a criminal organization that engaged in or attempted to engage in sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, obstruction of justice, and that's just a few of the offenses. And despite Diddy's attorney offering a $50 million bail, the judge has ordered him to stay in jail. Here's U.S. Attorney Damian Williams.
The indictment alleges that between at least 2008 and the present, Combs abused, threatened, and coerced victims to fulfill his sexual desires, protect his reputation, and conceal his conduct. As alleged in the indictment, to carry out this conduct, Sean Combs led and participated in a racketeering conspiracy that used the business empire he controlled to carry out criminal activity, including sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and the obstruction of justice.
Sheesh.
Woo, they throwing everything at Diddy.
Uh-oh.
I didn't realize when they, I guess his lawyer talked afterwards, and they said there's only one woman that they're indicting him on for trafficking. I guess it's Cassie.
Well, they're saying that Cassie found that he had been hooking up with another woman when she went through his phone.
You're not going to twist yourself into a pretzel every day to defend this guy,
I'm going to watch it as it unfolds and these freak-offs with the baby oil.
We're about to get to that because authorities allege they found paraphernalia for Diddy's freak-offs, which if you like me needed a definition for what a freak-off is, freak-offs were elaborate and produced sex performances that Combs arranged, directed, masturbated during, and often electronically recorded between women and male prostitutes. Attorney Williams went on to explain that in great detail. Here's that.
Combs allegedly planned and controlled the sex performances, which he called freak-offs. The freak-offs sometimes lasted days at a time, involved multiple commercial sex workers, and often involved a variety of narcotics, ketamine, ecstasy, and GHB. The indictment alleges that Combs threatened and coerced victims to get them to participate in the freak-offs. They also seized evidence of the freak-offs, electronic devices that contain images and videos of the freak-offs, and they seized cases of the kinds of personal lubricant and baby oil that Combs' staff allegedly used to stock hotel rooms for the freak-offs. More than 1,000 bottles altogether.
He's like the maestro of freak-offs.
Would this mean that Diddy is a C-U-C-K?
That's what they have suggested.
Yeah, saying he's the ultimate. He's the maestro.
Wow.
Can I get to a piece of sound from the show of record in America today?
Yeah.
The View, yesterday. If you think Wiggy's defenses are a little off-putting, listen to what Whoopi and her friends talked about regarding this story on The View.
raided his homes and found 1,000 vials of lubricant.
Yep, and
they
baby
raided his homes and they found narcotics.
But that's not, that's not, the lubricant is not.
It ain't a crime, guys.
It ain't a crime.
It is evidence. It can be used as evidence of a freak off, because they also they were calling these orgies, basically, that he orchestrated as a
with
criminal enterprise
girls.
With underage girls and
in some
commercial, sex workers.
Isn't it amazing on that show, everything that is offensive isn't, and everything that is isn't? Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, it's like everybody's a victim except for the actual victim.
I love how nobody knows what a freak-off is.
The only two people left in the U.S. defending Diddy are Whoopi and Wiggy.
I ain't defending them.
The two of them.
But let's not act
That'd
like...
That'd be a hell of a podcast.
Wrongly accused.
What is a,
you think he's wrongly accused?
What is a freak-off? Like, now everybody's like, oh my God, what's a freak-off?
But they, did you hear the charges?
Like, yeah, I heard
it's
the
sex
charges.
Sex trafficking, kidnapping, like, I mean...
Well, we've seen him beat the crap out of an innocent woman.
No, that is true.
What else would you ever need to know about someone?
That is true.
What else would you ever need to know?
Cassie.
But that's what when you said
Cassie.
Like, oh, that's the only woman, that's the woman that they're talking about in that instance. Like the abusing.
No,
the abusing
but that's
part.
The only indictment of sex trafficking a woman that is against them.
Could it's you imagine qualifying on The View that some women weren't underage? Who gives a flying F?
Oh, that's stupid. If you got underage girls, then...
Also, I understand even... lube is like, you know, people have lube. But to have thousands of bottles of it, I...
Yeah.
Well, he's a freak.
Yeah.
We know that.
Doesn't seem like he's doing his job that well if you need all that lube.
We are going to take a quick break. We'll get to the rest of the news with Courtney next.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.